Yes, amen, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yes, it's very nice to see so many of you. My name is Charlie Salamone, and because it is Christmas Eve, and there is a number of faces that I don't recognize, perhaps I should just take a minute or two to get us a little better acquainted. Yes, again, my name is Charlie Salamone. This is my wife, Erin, a few of our kids right here. This is our sixth Christmas here at Westview. 5.5 years ago, my wife and myself and our five kids and our cat drove to a city we had never been before, Montreal. We drove 1,600 kilometers from Wisconsin. So you might notice that I'm American here or there, but I'm working on that. So that was 5.5 years ago. We came from Wisconsin, and you know what? Enough about me. You didn't come here to hear about me. Why don't we dive right into the Christmas story? And before I do, I just want to tell you something about story. Something we've been talking about, if you're part of Westview, if you have been here lately on a Sunday, you know we've been talking a lot about story, about stories. This is something that's really cool. God has revealed himself, his character, his message, himself through stories. And I was thinking about that today, of how cool that is, because everyone loves a good story. Whether you are young or old, it doesn't matter where you come from or where you're going, everyone loves a good story, and God has revealed himself through story. So, more on that later. Let's dive into the Christmas story. I am going to pick it up, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46. It goes like this. No, sorry. Beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Okay, so this is one of those classic Christmas moments. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. As I read it this time, and there's a reason this word popped out to me. You'll hear about it later, perhaps. There's a word that popped out to me when I was reading this. This section begins and ends with the word descendants. Descendants. And we're going to see that later, come verses later in the Christmas story. This word popped out to me, descendants. Now, I told you, God has revealed himself through story, through the big, great story. And something to know about the Christmas story is part of that. But the Christmas story is not the beginning of that. The Christmas story begins, you could say that's like chapter two, season two. That's season two in the series, is the Christmas story, okay? But before that, there was a whole other series. And that whole other series started, you could say, with a guy by the name of Abraham. And that's where this language of descendants comes from. It says Joseph was a descendant of David. That was like 1,000 years before Joseph and Mary. And then 1,000 years before David was Abraham and his immediate family, his kid Isaac, his grandkid Jacob. And so that's what's being referenced. Jesus will be the promised king who will reign over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. That's an important point. And it has to do with all of us, but we can't miss that point. That point is important because in the first season, Abraham was given a special promise. Of all the families on the earth, you, God said, you, Abraham, and your family, you will be my special family. I will reveal myself to you in a special way. You will be mine, and I will be your God. I will guide you. I will take care of you. I will forgive you. I will love you. You will be mine forever. That's the promise that was given to who? To Abraham and his descendants. That is important because now in season two, all of the Old Testament, season one, all the Old Testament was tracing that promise. As that person, Abraham, became a bigger family, a nation, that's all before. And so now you have the New Testament and Mary and Joseph are descendants of that, okay? More on that later, but I just begin once more with this message. God reveals himself through story, through the great story, through small stories, but ultimately through the big story. And that's what we're diving into today, okay? So if that's all you've picked up, that's okay. God reveals himself through story. Now, let's jump ahead. So what happens here is, yes, Mary is told, you will bear a child. And then, of course, if you keep reading, Mary says, just one thing about that, I'm a virgin, so how's that going to work? And the angel, Gabriel, says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And Mary believes. And then what happens later, we're about to read it, what happens later in the story is, for the first time in history, the first Christmas song is sung. And that's kind of cool for us because lately, for the last 7 months, we've been talking about songs in the Bible here at Westview. But the first Christmas song ever sung is sung by Mary. Let's read it. It's called the Magnificent, something like that. Let's just read it. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. I imagine if I knew the music to it, it would come out so much better in song, but it was a song. She's singing this. And there's things for us to gather here. The first thing, we're going to continue in this context of looking at this through the lens of story because it is. In this song, we see something about Mary, of really how she sees herself. What she says is, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, or perhaps your translation might say, my soul magnifies the Lord. What that basically means is she's saying, my soul, my life points to the Lord. I told you I have 5 kids, and one of the privileges of having a lot of kids is you stay up to date en courant, with all the things that the kids say these days, the lingo, okay? And one of the phrases that has recently been brought to my attention that I find amusing, if someone is egotistical or self-centered or self-absorbed, you might hear someone say, her. She thinks she's the main character. And in fact, it's not just the teenagers. I heard my 7-year-old say that just a few weeks ago. She thinks she's the main character. It's like, I like that. I like that phrase, actually. I like that. And it's helpful, actually, because, well, Mary knows she is not the main character. This is a great story. If you listen to that song,
She says, my life, my soul magnifies the Lord. It points to him. And you can see, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. That's the song. She's not the main character. And friends, I have good news. I have good news for us. We're not the main character. Maybe that doesn't sound like good news. That's good news. And when we understand that we're not the main character of this story, then we can see clearly. Or as Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is great benefit to understanding that you're not the main character. 57 years ago today, something special happened, okay? It was Christmas Eve, obviously. 57 years ago today, the year was 1968, all right? I wasn't born yet, all right? 1968 was a crazy year. I'm kind of interested in history. 1968, crazy year. The Cold War was burning hot. The Tet Offensive in Vietnam had started. It was bad. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Shortly after that, Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. Not long after that, I understand this is from the United States perspective, but there was a riot. The Democratic National Convention turned into a riot. The world was in turmoil, okay? And it wasn't just my country. The world was in turmoil in 1968. But on Christmas Eve, something happened. The Apollo 8 spacecraft entered the gravitational orbit of the moon. And that had never happened before. Mankind had never made it there. Mankind began to orbit the moon. And on Christmas Eve, they turned on the camera and they sent a live broadcast down to Earth. And they put it on the TV, the news stations all around the world. TV put it on. TV Guide publication claimed that 1 billion people saw it. Now, I don't know if that's true. That sounds crazy. They said 1 in 4 people on the planet saw this broadcast. I imagine some people in this room saw it, all right? And, the most stunning thing about that broadcast 57 years ago today, the most stunning thing wasn't the surface of the moon as the spacecraft hovered over it. The most striking and stunning thing was the little blue circle on the horizon. You can Google sometime, not right now. Google Earthrise. It's a very famous photo that's from that moment. That little blue circle on the horizon. The astronaut that actually took the photo of Earthrise, Bill Anders is his name. He said, we went so far to explore the moon, but what we really discovered was the Earth. Meaning, we discovered how small it was. Just that little blue circle rising on the horizon. We realized how small we were. And as the world collectively, which had been in this place of turmoil, billion people watching. Together, saw themselves as not the main character, as the astronauts on the moon, as they saw the little circle of the Earth and they listened to the astronauts open up the book and read about the main character. They read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they continued, and they read the story. For a moment, at least, a world in turmoil saw things through a different perspective. And beloved, that's helpful. It's helpful. Psychologists call this the small self effect. When someone experiences awe of something greater than themselves, with it comes humility. And with humility comes generosity, compassion, happiness. These are things that have been scientifically shown. This is what happens when we experience awe and wonder. And beloved, When people come here, when I come up here, the first thing that I want to give them is awe and wonder. Not by anything I can do, but the reality there is a main character. And it's not us. There's a main character at the center of all of this. But it's Christmas. And at Christmas, the story gets better. You see, the main character of the story, the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he didn't leave this little blue circle to itself. The miracle, the wonder of why we gather today is the big God became small. The mighty God became weak. He became a little baby. The immortal God took on mortality. He lived as a real human and died as a human. He came. He had everything. And he came as a baby. That's the Christmas message. Now, we could go farther into that story. We could go farther into that story about what happened. And that's important. But I have a different question for us today. God has revealed himself through story. The main character of the story came to earth. He was born. And here's my question, and it's an important one. Why? Now, if you are going to play a character, if you're an actor or so, and you're going to play a character, there's one question that you have to ask first, above all else. I've heard actors ask it. I've heard them say it. You get a script. The first question is, what's my motivation? Meaning, this character I'm going to play, what's their motivation? Because that you have to know first. If you know that, if you know what drives them, you can capture that person. And you can play that role. But you got to know that first. To know someone, to know someone's heart, to know them, to really know who they are, you have to know why they do what they do, what motivates them. So again, the Almighty, powerful God became a weak baby and died a person's death. Why? Why did he come? Pause that for a moment. We're not the main character of these stories. Of this story, we're not the main character. I said that. But our stories can point to the story. And I'll say more on that later. But for now, why did he come? Why did he do it? You know, I've gotten that question myself a lot of times. Not about my life. I tell people, I came here from Wisconsin. I told you, came here from Wisconsin 5.5 years ago from the United States. And a question I get a lot, it actually brings curiosity, especially in the immigrant community. I'm an immigrant, you know. People will say, why did you come? Because many people left their homes seeking, I've met people, they left because they were fleeing war or oppression or just hardship, you know, poverty, things of such. Many people left situations like that and came here with the hope of better circumstance, and that is very reasonable. But I'll tell you something. In Wisconsin, our life was quite comfortable. We lived in Wausau, Wisconsin, town of, 100,000 people, north central Wisconsin. And in 2023, the New York Times listed Wausau, Wisconsin as the most affordable place to live in the country. And our life showed that. We had an enormous house that looked like it was out of a magazine, and it cost half the price of our house here. 3 stories and a basement, 2-story garage, a sunroom, a sauna. cathedral ceilings on the third floor, wood inlay flooring. It was beautiful, all right? And it was right up the hill from the church that I worked at. I just had to walk down the hill. We had friends. We were, by all means, comfortable. So why did you come here? And I could talk about like ministry and the spiritual needs in Quebec, and all of that would be true, but I want to give you a more simple answer. I came here because I wanted to. Do you understand that? I wanted to. I felt a desire, a strong desire. I could say, like, selflessly, I did it for you, I did it for me. I wanted to. Now, why did Jesus leave everything to live a hard life? He left comfort to live a hard life of suffering. Why? Because he wanted to. Let's understand the motivation of our King and Savior. We read it, this is a song. There's another song in the Bible called the Song of Songs, which means the greatest of songs. And in the Song of Songs, it says, love is as strong as death. The flashes are the very flame of God. You ever known just strong, desirous, passionate love? Then you can get a glimpse of why he came. He came because he wanted to. And he wanted to because he wanted to have a people for his very own. He wanted to live among us. He wanted us to know him. He wanted to know us as a friend, as a brother, whom he would be, and as a king. He wanted us. How could you deny someone who loves you in such a way? He knew what he was signing up for. When he came as a baby, he knew the assignment was to die. He knew the life was to be hard. But as the scriptures say, for the joy set before him, he did it. He did it because he wanted to. He did it out of love. This is our King. This is who we're celebrating. This is the main character of the story. Okay. So I got one more thing I got to tell you. First, I said God reveals himself through story. Then I told you, we're not the main character, but he is. And the main character loved us with a love that made him want to lay everything down. That's who he is. That's the big story. But our stories matter because our stories can point to the big story. Okay. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you something that I can't even believe. I can't even believe what's going on. I'm going to make it short. But I have to tell you because that's who I am. I'm not good at keeping secrets. I told you this word descendant is jumping out at me. It's how this passage ends that we just read. Helped his servant remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Descendants, descendants, descendants. Okay, here's the deal. Mary said, he's done great things for me. This is not my story, but this is what I can say about him. He done great things for me. November 12th, you can go back and watch the sermon. I stood here on November 12th, 6-7 weeks ago, okay? November 12th, I stood here and I told you that we got some bad news. Because the immigration program that would have allowed me to become a permanent resident was ended. And I spent 5 years working harder than I've ever worked for anything in my life, no question, learning French. I worked 5 years to be able to pass a French test so that we could become permanent residents. And I'm like right at the point of being able to pass this test. Program's over. And that is like, I was very disappointing. And I told all of you, part of me was like, I wanted to put the tape. I was like, roll the tape is what I wanted to say. Because what I told you on November 12th was, we got this bad news, the program ended. And I'm telling you because I want your prayer. And I'm telling you because I want you to see how the story ends. Because the story's not over. We know that God has made our life a story. So I told you, watch and see. Watch and see what happens. And I'll be honest, I didn't know anything was going to happen anytime soon. Okay? I would like to say I had a mustard seed of faith. My wife had more faith than me, I think. Because she's the one who told me, God is making a story. That's what she told me. She said, God likes our life to be a story, and he likes to do things in an interesting way. Okay, where are you going with all this? Descendant, descendant. I have to tell you, the Lord has done great things for me. That's what Mary said. So that was, like I say, 6-7 weeks ago. The program ended. And it's sad. I wanted to be a permanent resident for my family's sake as a temporary resident. You know, it goes citizen, permanent resident, and then like temporary resident. You don't have a lot of rights, to be honest. They're limited in ways. And your children have more problems. So I'm reading the news constantly. I'm checking the news constantly, hoping that the government changes their mind because people are protesting and they're hoping that the government changes their mind. They haven't changed their mind. The program's closed. But I'm checking the news constantly. And I come across this little article about something called Bill C-3, Restoring Citizenship to the Lost Canadians. For whatever reason, the Supreme Court of Canada decided that the way that they did citizenship for years wasn't completely fair, specifically the way they limited citizenship through descent to one generation. You could have one, if you moved, let's say, to the United States, your child would still be a Canadian, but their child would not. That's citizenship through descent. And they had that one generation limit. For whatever reason, Supreme Court said, it's not fair the way that we did this, so we're doing something else moving forward. If you want citizenship to go through the generations, you have to come here for a certain amount of time or something like that. But retroactively, we're undoing what we did. Retroactively, we are going to now recognize people who descended from Canadians, we're going to retroactively recognize them to be citizens. And I'm reading this 2.5 weeks ago, and I say, hey, Aaron, didn't you tell me that maybe someone from your family might have at some point come from Canada? And she's like, maybe. Messages her mom. Her mom's like, maybe my great or your great or... Okay, a bunch of maybes. But we started Googling. We found this ancestry site for her grandpa. Someone had done all the work. I was able to click on her grandpa's mother and then her father and then his father. In 1823, Aaron's great-great-great-grandfather, August LePage, was baptized in Saint Polycarp. And it's one thing to say this. Yeah, this is crazy, 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 okay? It's one thing for me to say that, but in order to be recognized that as a citizen, you gotta prove it. And over the next 72 hours, we found baptismal certificates from St. Polycarp. We found birth certificates. We found death certificates. We found marriage certificates. We found census records where they asked the question, where was your father born? Canada. We have multiple documents for linking every generation from August LePage and St. Polycarp to my wife. Multiple documents. Last Tuesday, we sent in a 50-page document to the Government of Canada asking for the documents that recognize, get this, that my wife and my children are already Canadian citizens.
Okay? And all that to say, the Lord has done great things for me. That's what Mary said. I am not the main character, but my story can point to a God who is good, to a God who is good, who does good things for his people, for his descendants. On that note, descendants, the descendants of Abraham, Bill C-3, which I told you about, recognizes, restores those who were not seen as citizens, but now they are, and a big part of it is people like my wife and my kids. But another big part of that bill is people who were not recognized as citizens, but now they are, people who did not come through the bloodline, but at some point they were adopted. Because the law recognizes that adoption is as strong as blood. And here we have the Christian message. To those who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the will of a mother or father, but born of the Spirit of adoption whom we receive through faith. This is the good news. Through faith, we become children of Abraham. We become descendants of the promise. That's the Christian message. This baby was given to all of us. And beloved, I ask again, a God who does such great things, a God who wanted to come, why would you not allow a God of love such as that into your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is real and our God is good. Last thing before I go. The band can come up. Last thing. I just got to say this. God gives forgiveness. Forgiveness upon forgiveness. It's because who he is. That's what you do in your family. I was walking out the door today to come here, and I say to my boy, Josh, make sure you guys are good during the service, because if you are, you get to open one of your presents tonight. And you know what he said to me? He says, he's a genius. He says to me, Josh, they want to know. They're gonna clap. He says to me, I thought we get to do that either way. And he's right. Because when you're part of the family, the love and the gifts and the privileges, they're no longer part of that. I could say I'm not going to give you a present if you behave bad, but that's just not how our relationship works, and he knows that. Once more, I ask the question, why would you not receive such a God in your life? Father God, I pray that we can continue to worship you, the gift that came on Christmas. You have done great things for me. You've done great things for us. And let us stand in awe of you, the main character of the story. Let us stand in awe of you and worship, Lord. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.